Dr. Martin Luther, in explaining the second article of the Apostles' Creed, stated concerning Jesus Christ that I believe that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him with in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Dr. Luther, in this explanation, was echoing the words of 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. St. Peter, in his turn, was doing his own echoing, borrowing the phrases from our section of Exodus. You shall be my own possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These passages, of course, are where we find the notion of the priesthood of all believers, or the priesthood of all the baptized. We can't quibble with the notion, since St. Peter tells us it applies also to us Christians. We also can't quibble with what God says about his own actions here in Exodus. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Ah, yes, here we have a wonderful statement of the action of God alone, without any help from the Israelites. God by himself achieves the salvation of the Israelites in the Exodus. But what about the one phrase between God's unilateral action and the kingdom of priests? There God instructs Moses to tell the Israelites, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be that kingdom of priests, etc. We might be tempted to sit back in our pews and think, Ah, yes, there's law in the middle of such beautiful gospel. Thank God we are no longer under law. If we think that, however, we are no better than the Jews who originally heard this from Moses. Dr. Luther, in one of his series of sermons on John 8, refers specifically to this section of Exodus and excoriates the Jews for taking note only of the promise of God in these verses, but refusing to do what our Lord God wanted them to do. God finally dispersed the Jews for their disobedience. And then Dr. Luther continued, Such a fate will also overtake us Germans. We commit sin and are slaves of sin. We live in carnal lusts and wallow up to our ears in license. We want to do as we please and whatever serves the devil. We want to be free to do whatever we desire. There is the crux of the problem for us. St. Paul addressed the situation with these words to the Christians in Rome. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? A kingdom of priests, a holy nation, is not free to do anything it wants. Anyone in the holy nation who becomes an obedient slave of sin forfeits his place in that holy nation. This matter of being holy is also one that Dr. Luther addressed in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. There we state, along with Luther, that I believe that the Holy Spirit has sanctified me, but that he also sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. How can sanctification, holiness, be both in the past and ongoing? The Holy Scriptures clearly teach that each unbeliever is sanctified by the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit brings him to faith. That is past. But the Scriptures just as clearly teach that the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify each of us as he empowers us to overcome the old Adam the sinful nature that is still a part of each of us until our physical death. This continual killing of our sinful nature is not fun, easy, or automatic. It is part of the discipline of the Christian life purposely to say no to sin. It is part of the Pentecost season to consider how we can continue to grow and mature in our Christian faith. It is certainly not a part of God's intent to frighten us by telling us what the Christian life entails. It is God's intent to tell us how serious living the Christian life is, since the devil is quite serious indeed in attempting to pull us out of that life of righteousness. Because the devil is very real, God warns us that a holy nation cannot afford to rest on its laurels. The psalmist wrote, "I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts." There indeed is Christian liberty in genuinely obeying God's command. Then indeed God will say of us that you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Amen.